As you just heard, Passover begins on Monday, and that means Jewish families around the world are probably already planning what they will eat for the traditional Passover Seder, a ritual feast that marks the beginning of the holiday. Now, Seders everywhere must include some traditional elements, which may vary slightly according to the part of the world the celebrant is in or from. But one element is a must, matzah, that cracker-like unleavened bread, which symbolizes the meal prepared in haste as the Israelites prepare to flee Egypt for freedom. Now, here's the problem. Let's say your friends and guests are very generous, and they have presented you with a large quantity of this item, which, while spiritually weighty, is probably not the best thing you ever ate. So what to do with your leftover matzah? We have called upon Joan Nathan, one of this country's foremost authorities on Jewish cooking. She is the author of many, many books. The latest is Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, My Search for Jewish Cooking in France. And she's here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I must tell you, I'm a little embarrassed at having called you. This is a little like calling, you know, Pavarotti to, you know, to sing the birthday song or Aretha. But we appreciate that you're willing to take on this challenge of what to do with your leftover matzah. But before we do, Passover, as we were talking earlier, is probably the Jewish holiday that may be most familiar to non-Jews. And it's a right. very festive occasion. What do you like about Passover?
Well, I like the sense of family, that everybody comes home. We try to make all our kids come home. And I really, it's the hardest thing I do all year. But when it finally comes together, it's worth it, because it's a way of creating memories for your children and have people, all people that you love, at your home with great food. And matzah.
And matzah. I hope I'm not being disrespectful when I say that, you know, matzah has a great spiritual and importance, but it's, can we just be honest, it's not the best thing we ever ate.
Right. Right? It's flour and water.
Flour and water, pretty much.
That's exactly
And it. Is there any salt in it?
There can be salt in it.
So do you ever find yourself with the dilemma of leftover matzah?
Well, you know, it's funny. My daughter went, and when she was about 5 years old, she's in her 30s now, she once said, you know, we look so forward to Passover. And then we realize after the first day, we have to have matzah for 8 days.
So what have you come up with as a way to utilize this important ingredient?
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, I crumble up matzah for my matzah balls. But I also make matzah pizza, matzah macaroni and cheese. I have this, which I brought in for you for my new book, a tart flambé with matzah that Alsatian Jews, it's like with farmer's cheese and creme fraiche and sautéed onions, and usually with ham. But, of course, the Jews aren't going to use
ham. No, we're not going to have ham.
So it's a Sunday night dinner in Alsace. Everybody eats it for Sunday night.
It smells amazing. And is it hard to make?
It's so easy.
What do you do?
Well, basically, you saute some onions or shallots, and you take a piece of matzah. Otherwise, you would take pie crust. And you put them on top. Then you sprinkle on some creme fraiche and also some Gruyere cheese, and you just bake it in the oven.
It looks like pizza. It's kind of like pizza.
Well,
Can I taste it? Do you mind?
It's for you. It's for you. And what's really so interesting is that you might not think that matzah is so good. However, in the Middle Ages, Jews lived in small towns in the south of France. They lived all over France. There've been, you know, Jews have lived there for 2,000 years. And they had something called a carrière, or basically ghettos. And in the synagogue, they would have a matzah bakery. And the Jews would have the matzah, but the Gentiles loved the matzah so much that they would come from the regular part of town to the ghetto, to the bakery, and get these, they call them kudol or kondol, and these were the matzah. And to this day, panazim, which is the French word for matzah, is diet food in France.
And so people eat it all year round.
They eat it all year round.
This is amazing. I'm sorry. I mean, we're just sitting here in this reverie of...
Isn't this good?
And you call this what again?
It's called tarte flambé.
Mm. Now, one of my colleagues brought this dish to a potluck, the chocolate salty crackers.
Oh, yeah, that's...
Are you familiar with that? Did you invent that, by the way?
No, I did not. And there are many people that say they invented it. Probably some company invented it, but
do you like it?
It's delicious.
It is a revelation. I mean, it changed my whole attitude about matzah, I must tell you. It's because it's very simple to make. You make sort of a caramel and then you spread some chocolate chips on top and maybe some nuts. But you didn't invent that?
I didn't invent it. I use it. Everybody
uses it. Do you like it?
I do like it. But, you know, there's so many different things that you can do with matzah.
Give an example. What about something for breakfast, for example?
Well, you crush it up and you put water in it. In fact, we once had it's called a matzah braai. And we had a matzah braai cook-off with the late Sheila Lukens, who was at my house for Passover. So she made hers with mushrooms, sautéed mushrooms and onions, and I made mine just with a little bit of cinnamon and sugar, and we just tried to do it to see who's was best, and I guess who's best is what your mother made. That's really...
So what do? Is you just wet the matzah a little bit?
You wet the matzah, you dry it out. But I have another new idea that was in my article for the New York Times, deep-fried matzah. You just deep-fry it for a minute, and... it makes it very crunchy. And then you just sprinkle on it granulated garlic, salt, pepper, sugar. It is so delicious. It's addictive. It's that frying. It doesn't do anything to it because it's so thin.
I thought we were kind of moving into a healthy eating phase here, but you're just dragging us right back in.
I am, but it would believe me, it is so good. And the thing is that nothing is absorbed, so all it does gives it a little crunch.
Well, there that's a solution to every problem. And finally, I'm sure that there are people stalking you for invitations to your Seder anyway. But what are you serving this Seder, if you don't mind my asking?
I'm going to do the fried matzah. But I'm also going to have the shmura matzah, the round matzah, which are really the original matzah. I'll have harotzit, which is the more symbolic of the mortar. And when Jews were slaves in Egypt, I'll have brisket. I'll have chicken soup, homemade gefilte fish. And I end my meal with a matzah fritter called a Kremslach, which is from Germany. It's like a donut, a matzah donut. And then I serve it with a compote. And it's a recipe that my father loved. He was from a very assimilated Jewish family in Germany. And when my mother wanted to have a Seder, he didn't really want to have a Seder. But he said he would do it on one condition, that she would make this Kremslach, this matzah fritter. And so she learned to make it. And I think about him every year when I make the matzah. Why don't you come to my Seder?
I was waiting.
It's great food.
No doubt. Joan Nathan is the author of 10 cookbooks. Her most recent is Quiches, Kugels, and Couscous, My Search for Jewish Cooking in France. She's also a frequent contributor to the New York Times Food Arts Magazine and Tablet Magazine. And she was kind enough to stop by our Washington, D.C. studios at this very busy time of year. Joan Nathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.